Between a Super Bowl watching party and a cocktail party, there's been at least a new social emphasis and bipartisanship in the early days of the Obama administration. So far, of course, it's brought about more thank you notes than votes, but it is irresistible to wonder on this Valentine's Day if there is any kind of future for bipartisan love. We're joined now by Jonah Goldberg of the National Review. Jonah, thanks for being back with us.
Great to be here.
And Michelle Cottle of the New Republic, thank you for being with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Look, I could ask a lot of political questions first, but let's cut to the chase. Could you ever fall for someone on the other side?
I could. I didn't. Well, in college, I actually dated a pretty committed feminist and all of that. But I think it depends. You know, for people who live and breathe politics, I think falling in love with someone on the complete other side of the political spectrum could be probably hard. If you're a plumber and a lawyer, I don't see it being a problem. But if you live and breathe politics, it might be.
Michelle?
I think, though, that if you're in the game part of it, like if you're kind of a wonk or you're really into the ideology, that's one thing. But, you know, say you're Mary Matlin, James Carville, and you live and breathe the campaign aspect, and you have to have this weird metabolism that my guess is that nobody but somebody else who's in the same game understands. So that helps elide some of the perhaps ideological differences. So
this is totally personal and none of my business, but Jonah did volunteer. It's happened to him. Ever happened to you?
I grew up hardcore Republican. My entire family is Republican. I work for a liberal magazine. So basically, until I hit college, I didn't date anything but good old boys with, you know, guns and dogs.
This is why people shouldn't send their daughters to college.
It's true. I am the product of a conservative upbringing and a liberal education.
Look what happened to Hillary.
Yes, that's right. She was a Goldwater girl, wasn't she, come to think of it?
So she says, yeah.
Now, polls show that the American people say they want bipartisan amity. Now, do they really, or is that just like the kind of thing you say to a pollster because it sounds good?
I think everybody knows their talking points. What they want is for there to be less sniping and everything to turn out the way they want it to. So sure, they'd like there to be bipartisan amity as long as at the end of the day Congress passes the laws that they want. But that's not really going to be a possibility.
I think that's right. I think that, you know, particularly in politics, bipartisanship is usually defined as the opposition should shut up and agree with me. And I've never in my entire life heard anybody say, for the sake of bipartisanship, for the sake of moving beyond these petty ideological disputes, I'm going to abandon all of my principles and agree with you. They only say it because they want you to shut up and get with their program. And to me, I've always thought that that was problematic because a democracy is supposed to be about disagreement, not agreement. And we're supposed to have these fights and these arguments. And the Democrats won the last big one in the election, and they should be allowed to basically have their way, but they shouldn't expect Republicans to lie down and agree with them when it violates their principles.
Let me get you to address that, if I could, Michelle. Do people say they want bipartisanship, but?
Well, absolutely. I mean, people think when they say that they're being moderate. I mean, there's also this obsession in the country with being a centrist or being an independent. This is kind of what we know is the right thing to do, moderation in all things. So sure, but when it comes down to it, a lot of the disagreement is over very substantive issues. It's not like we're sitting squabbling over things that don't matter. I mean, there's a big philosophical difference about what should be done, and so who's supposed to just throw up their hands and go, oh, all right, you guys, let's all go to dinner. It's fine, whatever you want to do. No, you have to hammer these things out.
There's also this myth that says that the independent position is in and of itself superior to the far left or the far right position. If one side says 2 + 2 = 4 and the other side says 2 + 2 = a duck, that doesn't mean you should compromise somewhere in the middle. And, you know, maybe the Democrats are all correct on the stimulus stuff, or maybe the Republicans are all correct. But it seems to me that the folly of people like Arlen Specter and these guys who think that you can craft something better by, you know, mushing all the paints together until you get gray is not very persuasive to me.
But so many people who've been in public life for some time complain that a lot of voters don't understand that if you're going to get something through Congress, you have to compromise. That yeah. you can't be, I believe as Barney Frank said recently, if you don't want politics to be in the bailout bill, then don't have a bunch of politicians pass it.
Well, one of the problems you have here is that the Congress runs a little bit like a marriage, whereas they have this long history and long memories, and people keep lists. And usually compromise in Congress often means that no one winds up completely happy, and they have their grievances and resentments of how they were treated that they will bring back, you know, 5 years, 10 years, how long, however long it takes for the party who's been aggrieved to get back in power, and then you wind up in marriage counseling.
Yeah. I think I saw this scene in The Godfather, right? Where he waits 20 years to put the he comes back to his hometown in Italy, right, to get the guy who killed his father. Yeah,
and I think Michelle's right. I mean, I've watched enough Dr. Phil, right, to know that relationships are built on good communication and all that. And it seems to me the Republicans were locked out of a lot of the real conversations about what this was going to be about. And you know, and most fights in relationships are about money. And here we are. It's a fight about money.
Well, it's been wonderful talking to both of you. And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but it is Valentine's Day. So how about a hug?
We already hugged in the green room. That's our quota for the year.
All right. We don't want to drag you off, Mike. All right. Thanks very much, Jonah Goldberg of the National Review, Michelle Cottle of the New Republic. Nice being with you, and happy Valentine's Day.
To you,
thanks.
Too.
Great to be here.